Welcome to Torat Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Yehoshua Perek Yud Beis. In this Perek, we have an inventory of all the territory that up till now has been conquered by the Bnei Yisrael. The Perek lists all the land that was conquered both by Moshe on Eiver LaYarden and Yehoshua, and the land is therefore now ready for distribution to the Shvatim, to the tribes. The Perek also lists the two kings defeated by Moshe and the 31 kings who have been defeated by Yehoshua. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph. The Ela Malchei Haaretz, these are the kings of the land, Asher Hiku B'nei Yisrael, that the B'nei Yisrael struck, by Yirshu Es Artzem, they inherited their lands, Be'ever HaYarden Mizracha HaShemesh, on the eastern side of the Yarden River. So we are talking about the lands, Rashi tells us, Asher Hiku B'nei Yisrael, B'yamei Moshe. These are the lands conquered under the leadership and authority of Moshe Rabbeinu before his death on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Minachal Arnon ad Har Hermon, from the Arnon River to Har Hermon, v'chol ha'arava mizracha, the entire plain to the east. Pasuk Beis, Sichon Melech Amori, Hayoshev b'cheshbon, Sichon, the king of Amori, who dwelt in Cheshbon. Moshe me'Aror Er, he ruled from Aror Er, that is on the bank of the Arnon River, in the midst of the river, half of Gila to the Yabok River on the border of the Bnei Amon. So the Perek here is giving us in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Yud Beis, the border of the territory that Moshe conquered. And the plains as far as Yam Kinneros, the Sea of Kinneros, to the east, as far as the plain to the east, Yam HaMelech Mizracha, the Salt Sea on the east, Derech Beis HaYeshimos, and from the south below the slopes of Pisgah, Gvul Og Melech HaBashan. So that was the territory, first we were told, Pasuk Beis through Pasuk Gimel is the territory conquered by Moshe of Sichon Melech Amori, Hayoshiv B'cheshbon. And now we come up to Pasuk Dalet, Ugvul Og Melech HaBashan, and this is the territory of Og Melech HaBashan. Miyasar HaRafaim was the last one of the giants who lived in Ashtaros Uve Edrei, as we read in Sefer Devarim. Umosha Bahar Hermon Uve Salcha, and he ruled in Mount Hermon and Salcha in the Bashan until the border, the Geshuri, the Amachasi, Chatzi HaGilad, half of Gilad, Gvul Sichon Melech Cheshbon. So we have here a lot of territory and land that has been conquered by Moshe, listed in the Perek, Pasuk Vav, Moshe Eved Hashem, Moshe the servant of Hashem, Ubnei Yisrael, and the Bnei Yisrael, Hikum, smote them, Vayitna Moshe Eved Hashem Yerusha, Moshe the servant of God. Two times in this Pasuk, we are told that Moshe is the servant of God. Yerusha, Moshe gave these lands as an inheritance to who? La Reuveni, Velagadi, Velachatzi Shevet HaMenasha. This territory on the eastern side of the Yarden went to the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half tribe of Menasha. Pasuk Vav is very impactful and a reminder of what the most eloquent, powerful toar title is of a Jew. For all that Moshe accomplished until his dying day, what does his obituary consist of in Perek Lamed Dalet of the book of Devarim Pasuk Hey? We are told, Vayamas Shem Moshe Eved Hashem, Be'eretz Moav Al Pi Hashem. And there Moshe died. And how is he defined at the moment of death? Eved Hashem. He was a servant of God in the land of Moab by the word of God. And here in Pasuk Vav of our Perek, we are told twice he was a servant of Hashem. I once heard Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein say something very powerful. I heard him say this many years, and this one line stuck in my mind. Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein said, a servant can only say one word. What is the one word he can say? Yes. As in, yes, master. And this was really the highest degree of compliment that it is afforded to Moshe after his death. And here it lingers through the book of Yehoshua as well. He was an Eved Hashem, and an Eved Hashem says, yes, Master. Moshe was the one, Asher Yado Hashem Panim Al Panim Lo Kam Navi Bisrael Kamosha, Asher Yado Hashem Panim Al Panim. There was never a prophet who arose in Israel who knew God face to face like did Moshe. And yet, he did his will, which was ultimately only the will of the Ribono Shel Olam. Pasuk Zayin begins to tell us, Ve'ela Malchei Ha'aretz Asher Hika Yehoshua. These are the kings of the land that Yehoshua smote down, Ubnei Yisrael, and the Bnei Yisrael, Be'eva Hayarden Yama. So first we have been told the lands on the east, now we under Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael, now we are told the conquered lands on the western side of the Jordan River, Eretz Yisrael proper, that Yehoshua and the Bnei Yisrael struck down, Be'eva Hayarden Yama, on the western side of the Yarden River, Miba'al Galgar bibikas halavonan va'ad ha'har ha'chala ka'ola se'ira va'yitna Yehoshua l'shivte Yisrael Yerusha kemach lekosam. The lands that Yehoshua conquered would be given to the tribes of Israel according to their divisions, pasuchas, and the mountains and the valleys, on the plains, on the slopes, in the wilderness, in the south, ha'chiti, ha'amori, Hakenani, Haprizi, Hachivi, Vahayavusi. Pasuk Tes begins an entire list of kings that Yehoshua conquered. And the Psukim follow a pattern. Malach Yericho Echad. Malach Ha'ai Asher Mitzad Beis El Echad. Malach Yerushalayim Echad. Malach Chavron Echad. Malach Yarmus Echad. Malach Lachish Echad. Pasuk Yerbeis, the king of Eglon Echad, which means one. Malach Gezer Echad, Melech Devir Echad, Melech Geder Echad. So we have here from Pasuk Tes all the way till practically the end of the Perek, Pasuk of Gimel, all of the 31 kings that Yehoshua conquered are listed here. Melech Yericho Echad, Melech Yerushalayim Echad, Melech Eglon Echad, Melech Gezer Echad, Melech Devir Echad, Melech Harma Echad, Melech Arad Echad, etc., etc. Noting that the word one seems superfluous as it is used in every single Pasuk, the Medrash comments the word alludes to the second in command in each city who died along with the king. So it's not only telling me Melech Yerushalayim was killed by the conquest, but Melech Yerushalayim Echad, the king of Yerushalayim and his one chief, his second in command. Melech Afek, Pasuk Gimel Echad, both the king of Afek and his second in command who was killed along with him. We have a whole list from Pasuk Tes, through Pasuk Gimel of the 31 cities and kings that Yehoshua conquered. Pasuk of Dalad, Melech Tirza Echad, Kol Melachim Shloshim Ve'echad. All the kings that Yehoshua conquered were 31. The Kliyakar explains that the Midrash on this chapter, Eretz Yisrael was so prestigious that many kings from outside of the country owned cities in the Holy Land. And this explains why there were so many kings for such a small country. We all know that Eretz Yisrael is not a large piece of territory. How is it possible that there were so many kings in one small country? There were rulers who ruled outside of the Holy Land. They owned cities in the Holy Land because Eretz Yisrael was so prestigious. Not only today is it desired by so many nations, but also in biblical times. This also explains why the ruler of only one town should bear the title of a king. Each one wanted to be ruler of a part of Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, all the kings of Canaan took part in the banquet that celebrated the Bris Milah of Yitzchak, and they joined in mocking Avram, and they said, surely Avimelech was the true father. Avram and Sarah had been married for so many decades without offspring. All of a sudden, Avimelech takes Sarah, and all of a sudden she has a child. It must be that this child was born to Avimelech and Sarah. Of course, we know that this was absolutely not correct. Hashem responded, says the Midrash, these scoffers would be conquered by the millions of Yitzchak's offsprings who would inherit the land that Hashem had promised to Yitzchak in Perech Chof Vav of Bereishis. So we have here the conquest of Yehoshua, the 31 kings. Let us remind ourselves that we are not warriors. This was because the Ribbono Shel Olam was with us that we were able to miraculously conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael in only 7 years. I will quote a very powerful, humorous, albeit inspiring story from a book called Angels in the Sky by Robert Gent. This book is about the founding and the formation of the IAF, the Israeli Air Force, in the early days when the state was just founding. And when we say the founding of the IAF, we mean literally a handful of planes. Rubenfeld watched the water rush toward him. He made it all the way to the beach before he bailed out. Seconds after his parachute opened, he was splashing down into the Mediterranean. Everything hurt. His side ached. He was bleeding from several wounds. He didn't know if it was from the flak bursts or from hitting the tail of the plane on the way out of the fighter. As he ejected, he was several hundred yards offshore. After trying to swim for what seemed like hours, Rubenfeld realized the water was shallow and he could walk, dripping wet, aching all over. He limped through the shallow surf towards the beach. Rubenfeld's optimism was returning. He survived a shoot down over enemy territory and he bailed out. He was a free man. And all of a sudden, blam, a gunshot rang out. A plume of water erupted beside him. More gunshots, more plumes, bam, bam. Then he saw them. Men were clustered on the beach with weapons. They were shooting at him. Were they Arabs or Israelis? It didn't matter who they were if they killed him. He raised his hands in surrender as he limped toward the dry shore. No one shot him yet. They were lousy shots. Some of the men on the beach held rifles. A few had pistols. Others were waving pitchforks and spades. They were farmers, Rubenfeld guessed, probably from the nearby Kfar Vitikin Moshav. All he could see was that they were furious. They were brandishing weapons, as if they wanted to make mincemeat of the pilot. Then it dawned on Rubenfeld. These men thought he was an Arab pilot. The existence of an Israeli fighter squadron was a secret. Worse, Rubenfeld looked like an Arab. His dark complexion had been further darkened by the Mideast sun. He furthermore spoke no Hebrew. His mind was racing to come up with something, anything, that these wild-eyed dirt farmers would understand. He threw his arms in the air. He yelled the only Yiddish words he could think of. Gefilte fish, Shabbos, Shabbos, he yelled as he limped out of the waters of the Mediterranean. The farmers stared at him as if he landed from outer space. Gefilte fish? Shabbos? They kept their pitchforks and rifles ready as Rubenfeld hobbled onto the beach. One of them snatched his pistol. Another frisked him and came up with the identification folder from the pocket of his flight suit. The farmer examined the folder and held it out for all to see. It was a black and white photo of Milton Rubenfeld with his name and rank as a pilot in the Israeli Air Force. In Hebrew, the pitchforks and guns lowered. The exuberant Israelis took turns embracing the American volunteer in the Air Force they did not even know they had. It was time for celebration. The stories of Tanakh, Kol Masha Ira L'Avo Siman L'Banim, the stories of Tanakh are a foreshadowing of what will happen to future generations, just as Moshe conquered the lands on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and just like Yehoshua miraculously conquered the lands on the western side of the Jordan River. Only with the strength of God behind them, so too, one day, their descendants would come back and reconquer these very same lands. Thank you for learning with Torat Imecha Nachyomi, Leilui Nishmata Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef, Aleha Hashalom.